I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
That's right. It's the Monday Night Raw After Show, exclusively part of AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports. And AfterBuzz TV is ESPN of TV talk. And I wonder if ESPN say if they're the AfterBuzz of sports talk. We have no idea. My name is Lobo Boys. I'm so glad you're here locked in with me today. We got the champion, Drew McIntyre, some champions, my girl, Bayley, and a brand new championship belt in the United States title. We're talking about all of that today. But before I do, I have to introduce my all-star panel. Introducing first, she is from San Diego, California, known as La Profesora. Give it up for Leslie Colon.
Yes, that is me. I am back. Did you guys miss me?
Of course, yeah. Our ratings missed you, definitely, yeah.
I'm so glad. I know you guys need me because I am the role model of this after show. I am La Profesora. I am the role model now. So, you know, we got to keep it going.
How was your fourth? Are you doing anything crazy?
No, you know, just stay home and watch the fireworks on everyone's Snapchat. That's kind of how we do it now.
Everything is virtual. Share your communal experience. Also, she is joined by this guy coming from Parkland, Washington. He is, fact, the number one broaster and the Hall of Farmer. Give it up for the real Jack Farmer.
It is always good to be here, always good to be back, and I'm glad Leslie's here. That means we're going to get some positive feedback on the show. That's always a given when she's here. So we get, like, carte blanche. We can do whatever we want. We're going to get good feedback because everyone loves Leslie.
That is absolutely true. How was your fourth, Jack? Doing anything crazy?
It was solid. You know, I'm fortunate. I got a pretty good view of the skyline, so I got to see fireworks all over the city for a little bit before getting bored and watching a movie.
Probably hanging out with Elon Musk and President Kanye. But thanks for everyone in the chat hanging out. Dangham Q, Haywood Wong, Joseph Boza, Dylan Matthews, I think he's on his way over there, and Rye Guy in the booth and in the chat. Make sure you hit up Rye Guy and tell him he looks fantastic, even though you may not even see his face. Monday Night Raw tonight has a lot of storylines going, but the number one storyline for me, personally, even though it's not the biggest, is that we have a brand new United States title champion. We don't really know. It's kind of gray area there. I want to start with you, Leslie. Thoughts about the new United States title and the fact MVP has claimed himself to be the first ever champ?
First of all, it's beautiful. Second of all, when did MVP become number one contender all of a sudden? This is where I'm confused. He says he's loyal, but yet now Bobby Lashley is put on the back burner, and now it's MVP who's going after the championship. What is happening? How is someone going to lead someone yet take away his opportunity?
Lead by example.
I don't know. Yeah, there's something fishy going
exactly.
on. I'm not buying it. But I know Jack loves MVP, and MVP is the biggest thing for him. So I know he's going to disagree with me.
Jack, thoughts about the title and MVP being the first ever question mark champ?
First of all, I love this new title. It took a second to get used to because we've had the other design for so long, but I love how this new title is a perfect mix of old school and new school. It feels like an old title, but it's got the newer font on it. So I think it's a great title. I think it looks beautiful. I think it looks amazing. As far as being the first champion, I think he meant he was the first to hold this version of it, which right. I guess is true because he unveiled it. So the question for me is if he defends it and if Apollo Crews beats him, which title does Apollo Crews keep? Because if he takes MVP's title, he kind of admits that MVP was the real champion, right?
That does like a moot situation, how he's a TNA champion, even though it is an Impact championship. But I don't know about that belt. I'm on the fence. And I really want to talk about this a little bit. Because I know on one hand, when they debuted the Intercontinental title last year, my biggest gripe with that belt, I said, hey, that belt looks great, but doesn't quite match United States. It looks like one is cartoony, one's super real. What we have now is a more real, there's eagles, there's red and white, there's like, it's American AF. I get that. But what I'm saying is that having the giant championship cross the middle, is that kind of amateurish maybe? No?
I like it.
Yeah, I don't mind it either.
Okay,
I think it's fine. I think we were just so used to seeing that old championship that I felt like it was time for them to give us something new. I feel like the titles have changed so much in the past couple of years where they've changed completely, where they're even more shiny. They look even more appealing to me, at least. So I think it was probably time for them to get a new United States title because now it's really important. And especially now that they're giving like Apollo Crews an opportunity and we're seeing like all these different types of guys, why not make him hold like a really nice championship?
And I guess he'll hold it at some point. We have no idea. But yeah. Lashley got some work in there as him and MVP had a match against Cedric Alexander Ricochet. I guess coming to the aid of Apollo, who wasn't even in the building tonight. The match was pretty quick, right? But what happened afterwards? Cedric Alexander getting the talk from MVP. Leslie, do you want to see Cedric cross over to the dark side?
Of course not. I love Cedric Alexander. I love Ricochet. I was so happy to see them. But why? Why? If he's just going to take your opportunities like he's doing with Bobby Lashley.
You can't beat him. Join him, Leslie.
Is that what's going to happen with the Monday Night Messiah too? No, that's not happening either. So, no, something fishy. These guys are smarter than that. Bobby Lashley is just being put on the backside as well because MVP wants all, you know, all the light on him. So, I'm not buying it. I don't buy MVP as a leader.
Hold on. So you go out there to defend your boy, and you just get, like, beat down. I mean, you're the one who gets pinned by old man MVP, or even Lashley. Lashley pins you. Bam. You're in the back. You're feeling yourself. You're like, oh, my ribs. And the guy's like, here's an opportunity. That guy just beat you down. There's a spot open on this squad, and he's going to say no? Why not glow up?
Is it a glow up, though? That's my question. Is it a glow up? Jack, I want to ask you that.
Yes, it's a glow up. It's a huge glow up. Look, first up, when Lashley had MVP as a manager, did we any of us predict that Lashley would be the one putting the title on MVP in the ring one of these times?
But
it doesn't make
MVP
sense.
Is the hardest working man in all of wrestling. He's managing, he's wrestling as a champion. He's managing, he's also recruiting people. And listen, if you have any doubts about what Cedric should do, if you're like, hey, you know, you want to be a good guy, don't sell out. Who was there checking on the injured Cedric? I didn't see Ricochet around. I didn't see Ricochet going, hey, man, are you okay? You really got hurt out there. Where was Ricochet? He was out doing whatever he does whenever he's not in the ring, fighting crime, being a superhero, whatever he was doing. He was too busy for the guy that had his back merely moments ago. But who wasn't too busy? A guy who he should be defending his title. He should be managing talent. He should be running the VIP lounge. But no, he said, Cedric, I'm going to make time for you. I'm going to help you. I want to make you better. Yes, Cedric should listen to MVP. MVP is the only friend he has right now.
I can't believe that in 2020, we're saying that Ricochet is holding back Cedric Alexander. What?
Or that MVP is the star that we need to be looking at right now.
No, I believe that part. That makes sense. I mean, come on. He's amazing, Leslie. Why not?
I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. I feel like a couple months ago, we were like, why is he even there? Yes.
I was never that way. I popped hard in Royal Rumble. I'm like, Edge who? MVP. I'm all about it.
I just there's something fishy going on that I'm not buying it. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Maybe it'll grow on me. Maybe I'll join your crew. I'll join the dark side eventually. But as of right now, I'll just watch. I'll watch and see what happens.
So just a follow-up question. Just say Cedric says, okay, MVP, I see the light. MVP, Bobby Lashley, Cedric Alexander. Is that the unit? Is that the stable? Or is there room for one more?
I mean, that's the unit. You have so much talent there. I feel like the one thing I will give to MVP is that I've never been more impressed with Bobby Lashley since he joined him.
Mm-hmm. So agreed.
Bobby Lashley has been super great in all his matches. Like, I believe in him now. More than I never even believed in him when he was with Lana. I mean, that's obvious. But now that he's with MVP, it's like, dang, he can wrestle so good. Dang, he's beating up people. Dang, he can even talk on the mic. I'm like, who is he? So
okay, like, who is he?
Yeah.
Okay. So Jack, what about you, man? MVP looks like he's having a stable. He's like has a talk show. He's a quasi general manager. He's like recruiting guys left and right. Who's left? Who needs to be stepped up into MVP circle?
I always like adding people. I think the more the merrier. That's why I was always an NWO guy. I say, sure, bring in more people. Every person that MVP interacts with does better. So let's bring the whole roster on, I say. I think it's great. Who wouldn't benefit from what MVP is doing right now? Plus, I feel like they have way too many of these like three person teams right now. You got to shake it up. You got to have the big one, the dominant one, the one that's going to control things. I think MVP stable is the one to do it. And I think add a few more people. Who cares? Add one or two or three or four.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Add everybody. You're gonna have MVP 2000. Before we move on to our next topic, Leslie, can you tell the world a favor? I think you listen to this AfterBuzz show and other AfterBuzz shows on this and other networks.
Of course, you know, since everyone has to give positive feedback because I'm on the show and I'm joining these guys, make sure you give us 5 stars on iTunes, not one, not two, not three, but 5, 5 if you don't understand English. Oh, and also make sure
you like late, Leslie, we're like 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
What?
We're 10 minutes in the show. We can't understand English. And, okay, never mind.
Well, anyways, I'm trying to give a lesson here because I'm la profesora. So... guys, make sure you like us on YouTube. You leave a comment, subscribe. We appreciate you. We always shout you out. You know, we're so loyal to you guys. Everyone on the chat, Charlene, Haywood, and Joseph Boza, you guys are the best. So make sure you give us that support because we appreciate you.
Wait a minute. You're La Professora. We got Flobo is Primo. What's my nickname?
Güero.
Güero.
That must mean great.
Yes, it does.
Because you can say a lot of words. Like, what's your favorite one to say from the Rey Mysterio song?
Booyaka.
And the other one?
Pueblo.
There you go.
Okay, we have to actually happen, guys. Let's move on to the top of the show here. Our WWE champion gets in one segment and disappears. I'm kind of surprised he didn't have a match in that kind of good. But he did have a match against Heath Slater. What? The free agent, the one person we thought was released in the April cutoff due to the COVID-19 pandemic, shows up, brought up by Dolph Ziggler with his mind games. The match was short, I guess. Jack Farmer, walk me through this. We all know Drew McIntyre just starving for some opponents, and Dolph Ziggler seems like to be a stopgap measure. But, one, was it cool to see Heath Slater? And, two, would you extend this feud longer than a month?
The feud between... I think it's a 1 month thing, and we'll probably talk about that in a little bit, but my reasoning in just a little bit, but I think it's great. He's a great opponent for Extreme Rules, the kind of middle pay-per-view that's not supposed to be the big show. It makes sense. It'll be a great match, whatever the stipulation is going to be. Something that stood out to me that Stephanie Hypes said on Twitter, a friend of the show, Stephanie Hypes, she had mentioned it kind of seemed weird for someone I'm supposed to be cheering, Drew McIntyre, to just beat up a guy who just lost his job, is supposed to be his friend, didn't get help. It seemed like a weird person to have. It was great to see Heath Slater. I thought his promo was great. Yeah. It just seemed weird. It didn't seem like I wanted to cheer Drew McIntyre for that. It made him seem like a jerk.
It didn't bother me. Maybe if I know what Stephanie was saying. It's like, yeah, on screen, it's kind of like, hey, he's a good guy. He's supposed to be like that. But like from the whole comic book standpoint, I've seen like mirror matches. I've seen like, you did this to me, you know, and have him in the superhero be reluctant, having to dispatch you very, very gently. You know what I'm saying? So that was totally fine. But but a question I have for you, Jack, follow up though. You said the reason the match was kind of difficult. Would you have brought back Heath Slater in this capacity? Did it work? Did the segment actually, was it entertaining? Did it work for you or just not, did it miss?
I'm torn on it. I think everyone performed it great. I think, like I said, I think that was the best Heath Slater we've seen on a microphone in a long time. I think he came across amazing. I think Dolph Ziggler came across good as the chicken that didn't want to actually get in the ring with Drew McIntyre and wanted to play some mind games. I think everything did what it was supposed to do. That said, it didn't really feel like it was that important either. I mean, you know, not every promo needs to be important, but it just, it doesn't seem like it really fit in. You know what I mean? I don't feel like it had anything to do with what was going on in the build to this match. I don't know. So I guess it didn't feel necessarily like important. Everything was played well, but I don't know if it was really that important of an actual beat in the story.
Fair. Leslie?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. If anything, I was more confused because over the past couple weeks or months, we've actually been seeing so many wrestlers who WWE announces that they are fired, yet they come back. So if anything, it's more confusing to us as fans. It's like, are they fired? Are they coming back? Do we know, you know, where are they with the company? So if anything, I'm more concerned in that aspect, especially because it's so real. And his promo was I felt that when he's like, I'm actually fighting for my two daughters, not the million kids that people think I have. So the promo was well, it was just confusing. If anything, I felt like it was more confusing to us as fans to watch that, where I was, if anything, more excited to see Dolph Ziggler announce the stipulation for the match. Like, that's what I was looking forward to.
So, Leslie, if you have the Shadow Booker powers, would you bring back Heath Slater another time, maybe at the match of Extreme Rules to add a wrinkle to it, or is this a nice one and done for Heath?
No, for me, it's sad to say, but like a one and done, because I felt in this storyline, we've had such a good connection with Dolph Ziggler and Drew. So to kind of bring him in the mix, it's confusing. Unless you're going to do with Jinder Mahal as well and then bring the whole 3MB thing together, then I feel like it would make more sense. But right now, it's like, it was kind of weird. Weird timing. Not now.
Unfortunately, Jinder is injured, but Jack loves his stables. He just loves more and more stables.
I know.
It's going to be like SummerSlam 97, yeah. Like Los Boricuas versus Stables of Apocalypse.
I think three-man band should become like one of those 10-person ska bands or something. I just...
We're a 10-man band.
It's like marching down the street in New Orleans with all the trumpets and drums and everything.
They're a crew now. It's crazy. So weird. Like, I mean, how are you talking gimmick or what have you? But Jack, you know, I'm here chilling on the show. I'm drinking this coffee. I'm feeling myself, man. Thanks so much for sitting over that good brosters, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. And I appreciate you mentioning that, because I've always been a coffee fan. I've been drinking coffee my whole life. I grew up in one of those kind of blue collar households, though, where you drink your coffee every morning, but coffee's supposed to be this bitter, disgusting kind of thing you grit your teeth through. And it wasn't until I tried Brosters from www.thebrosters.com that I realized that you can have really good coffee and get your day going off with a great start with stuff that tastes amazing. I actually just finished a pack of the Russo Bro coffee myself, and I already have got some more in the cupboard ready to go. I got a different flavor. I'm going to reveal what my next flavor is on the AEW Dynamite show on Wednesday. That's a tease, ladies and gentlemen. But do yourself a favor. Go to www.thebrosters.com and order yourself some coffee today. Tell them Jack sent you. And enjoy your mornings going forward. Go big or bro home.
Wait, wow.
Are you So, guys, I want to have some lunch on Thursday, but I won't tell you till Wednesday night. Like, what? I need to know this now. I need this information.
Listen, it's showbiz, Flobo. You don't let everyone know right away. You got to check out AEW Dynamite After Show to see just what flavor is next. It's not just the Russo Bro. They've got all sorts of flavors. And I think you're going to like the next set of coffee coming up.
Ooh. I see how it is. You're going to go and put things over in your own show. Like our next opponent here, Kevin Owens on the KO show. Fight everyone. No time for chairs. Tosses him out the ring. Long story short, because Aleister Black gets beat, which is so weird to see Aleister Black, you know, like just like in the corner. Oh, this hurts too much.
With a mask.
Yeah, just, oh, this mask in my face. It sucks. You know what I mean? Pick a fight with me. He gets replaced. Kevin Owens is Rey Mysterio, now fighting for Mysterio's honor, which is kind of ironic because Mysterio's fighting for his own honor. Against Seth Rollins and Murphy. Where's Austin Theory? He's still around? I'm not even sure where he is right now. But the match itself is pretty solid, I thought. But Leslie, thoughts about the match and what it means for the Monday Night Messiah.
Why are we talking about Seth Rollins? We should be talking about Rey Mysterio.
Why?
He's cleared. He's cleared to wrestle that beautiful 619 at the end. And if anything, I'm more confused of why Dominik is there kind of in the corner. You know,
Dominik's there. He's going to get recruited to be a disciple.
You think so? You think his eye is
Has anyone done less over the course of a year than Dominik has?
Lana.
He's been on constantly done almost nothing.
Yeah.
Dominik fought Brock Lesnar. What has Lana done in the ring?
Exactly.
Nothing.
Don't be a hater, you hater.
He
got beat up by Brock Lesnar, and then he helped his dad do some moves, and then he just stands there with his hands in his pocket.
Let he who never helped his dad cast the first stone, Jack. He's doing what he can.
He's gonna take out an ojo. Hello, it's an eye for an eye, an ojo for an ojo. I mean, I'm loving
this. A noho.
What's it? Ojo's an eye.
Ojo.
Ojo.
Yeah, he's like, oh, bro. You're like, wait a minute. Yeah,
exactly.
So yes. I'm sitting there. This guy has a lens over one eye. Is putting his other eye in a matchup, and no one's stopping this?
It's hilarious.
Good idea. That's a really good idea.
I liked your tweet, by the way. I mean, overall, the match was great. I liked it, and so I'm loving this storyline.
Let's talk about this match, though. At Extreme Rules, this is July 19th, I believe. So you have this eye for an eye match, and I hope no one's getting their eye actually removed in this match, but what does it actually entail? If the show is called a horror show, I assume there's some sort of cinematic element to it. Jack, if you had to speculate, postulate, pontificate of what happens in this match, what would it be?
I would love to imagine like Seth Rollins gets backstage and is like, guys, I thought we were doing a ladder match. What's Rey Mysterio talking about? I think half the fun of these cinematic matches is wondering what exactly you're going to get. And in the vein of that, I think this is perfect because we have no idea what this is going to look like or how it's going to play out. And that's exactly what these shows are now with the cinematic matches. Like, what is a Boneyard match? How is Money in the Bank going to look? What is a swamp fight gonna look like or whatever? I think that this is exactly what you're looking for when you're making these cinematic matches, is the kind of thing that makes you go, I want to tune in just to see what happens with all this. So
they sound like Street Fighter levels, you know, like come to the swamp next Sunday on pay-per-view.
Dun, hey, dun, dun, dun. You gotta have like a little plane like fly across, right, right. Little,
exactly. Like people are cheering on, like, yeah,
they're just repeating the same
animations all the time. Joseph Lowe's in the chat says it sounds like it's a blindfold match, which I guess, but I feel like that would be a swerve, right? I would call it a blindfold match at that point.
Like they're both wearing blindfolds?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like some TNA.
That's
stuff.
Weird.
Well, yeah, it's a comedy match, I think. I can't.
Okay, I feel like the winner's just gonna take the opponent's eye out. That's pretty much probably what it is.
It's PG rated, Leslie. Dang, you bloodthirsty.
Mysterio. It's gonna be like something similar to something's gonna happen like that.
I agree
with
Leslie.
It's gonna be PG.
I agree with Leslie. I think it's going to be Seth Rollins that loses the eye, and then he's going to have some cool Messiah eye thing. Mm-hmm. And he's going
to
look absolutely cool.
So there's going to be no eye sacrifices, like if like Aleister Black or Humberto Carrillo will lose an eye out of respect for one team or the other. Like, I don't know how that works. I don't know. How do you win?
Humberto Carrillo's going to take his eye out of respect?
He does everything else.
Never respected anyone in my life that much. Not even close.
Here's a guy on the roster who could be a fighter. He's like, I'm doing it for Rey Mysterio. Are you doing everything for Rey Mysterio, bro?
Yeah, maybe Rey Mysterio needs to do some stuff on his own.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, sending his kids out, his Humberto's friends out. Aleister Black gets took a beating today. Dang it. I think Mysterio's the bad guy. Mysterio is the hero.
No!
He is.
You guys are the bad guy.
He's throwing his kid in the way of every dangerous person he comes across. He's like,
Dominic isn't a adult.
He's like Brock Lesnar, take Dominic, get in the way. Seth Rollins taking eyeballs. Dominic, get in the way.
Aleister Black, take his beating. Wear this mask. You might think it's you. It's me.
You guys are
Mysterio
horrible.
Mysterio is the bad guy. I can't believe
this. No, he's not.
Wow. Yeah, look, man. This is breaking news. I think we figured it out. Mysterio is the jerk. He hasn't done anything. Right. What is he doing?
How did he get down to San Diego? Who knew?
His eye doesn't even hurt. I think he's just playing it up like one of those 80s villains that wears the neck brace for 6 years.
Or Bob Orton with his arm brace.
Yeah, his eye patch is this generation's version of D-Lo's vest. That's what that is.
He probably gets cable in that thing, man. I don't know.
Hey, there is a point, though. Joseph Boza just said something. He's like, all this to get Dominic in the ring. It's pretty much true. We all know that this is probably the reasoning for all that.
Okay, so in all seriousness, though, we talk about how on other shows, especially NXT, talk about how WWE has the embarrassment of riches, right? That they can let go 20 to 40 people and still have good content in all three brands. Is it right for Dominic, though, to start on the main roster, knowing full well there's a whole path of NXT and like building up your own character there, just because he's Mysterio's kid?
No, it's not fair. And I'm being honest and I'm saying this, just because I love him doesn't mean I'm going to let him just move on to the main roster. I feel like it's more of like an introduction, yet he's going to have to start in NXT. Charlotte Flair did it. Why not Dominic?
No, he didn't do it. Came out, yes.
I don't think he's going. I don't think this is a plan to get him in the ring. He might get in the ring, but he's been coming around for a year now. A year he has been on main roster a lot. And think about how rarely he has actually gotten into the ring. If they wanted him to start transitioning into the ring, they would have at least had him doing more tag team matches or something along those lines to start showing us him in the ring. They wouldn't just have him on the sidelines constantly for a full year. It's been because I believe it was Extreme Rules where that he fought Brock Lesnar, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Was it Survivor Series? I want to say it was later than that. I want to say it was later in Extreme Rules. I'll double check.
Well, in any case, it's been a long time. I think if they wanted him to be in the ring, he would have been in the ring to some capacity, at least at this point. We would have at least seen him in more than just in jeans and a t-shirt, that's for sure. I think we would have at least seen him looking like he's going to be in matches. He hasn't really done anything, though. I think they're just using him as a... I mean, maybe he will down the road, but I agree. I think he'll NXT it before anything else.
And honestly, I think it's too soon. I feel like this introduction, I hope it doesn't ruin, you know, that transition from him to just being like a valet, you could say, to an actual in-ring performer. Because are we going to take him seriously if he's just kind of been on the sideline with his dad? So it's like all these things that you have to take into consideration. So I hope after this, I don't know if it's after Extreme Rules, I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't know. I'm ready for the storyline to be over. I feel like it's been dragged on. It's hurting Humberto Carrillo. It's hurting Aleister Black. It's hurting them more than they're gaining, honestly.
True. I agree. I think it should be over with this one, but I don't think storylines have ever ended Extreme Rules. Like, no one's ever like, that match is extreme. True. We're done. It ends up being like a progression of that.
When you say like that, it should be, though. I mean, that match is extreme. I am done. I lost my eyeball. I think I'm good.
We're settled. We're settled. Speaking about talent with generational aspirations, we have Randy Orton teaming with Zelina's crew, and they get meet up by Ric Flair, which set wrestling Twitter ablaze, asking and calling and clawing for Legacy 2.0. Before we get to the match tonight, I want to ask you guys, Leslie, first, would you be down for a Legacy 2.0 with Zelina, Andrade, Angel Garza, and the Viper, Randy Orton?
I mean, anything that Zelina leads, it's pretty cool. Even though they've kind of been having problems, I feel like she's puts this team so well together, I can't keep my eyes off of the TV. Like, they still come out with the win. They're still doing great things. Why not? Yeah. I mean, what is there bad about it? Nothing. I feel like this group is just so good. She's a really good manager. And I feel like I've been saying this for weeks. There's no other better manager than Zelina Vega.
True. Jack Farmer, Legacy 2.0. You on board, bruh?
I am on board with anything that Randy Orton is doing. Listen, I have said this again and again and again. Randy Orton has been lights out for so long as part of every single thing he's been doing. This team has been around for months, and they've been great. Don't get me wrong, but that moment when he choked Angel Garza was the most intense, real, and serious moment that team has ever had, and it changed the perspective on them completely. Their backstage interaction changed them completely. And I want to just take a second, because we had talked about Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. I want to talk about how Randy Orton right now needs to get a world title shot. It is July. He started a feud with Edge back in January at the Royal Rumble. And since then, he has had countless promos that we say you could teach classes on when it comes to promos. He had what we called the greatest wrestling match ever. And I know that was just a name. And some people say it wasn't the greatest ever. And maybe they're wrong. Maybe they're right. But I think you can't deny that was a phenomenal match. He had a match at WrestleMania that was great. He had a build that was great. He had fun at Royal Rumble, but before that, he was headlining the teams going into Crown Jewel, which, okay, whatever, it was Crown Jewel, but he was the leader of a team that was coached by Ric Flair. He also was part of Survivor Series, where he did the whole I'm injured, no I'm not, RKO to AJ Styles, which everyone loved, if you remember. He was making that amazing, but before that, he was in a feud with Kofi Kingston that legitimized his run because of how good it was, playing off of the past and the things that they had done before. It was a show-stealing feud. And before that, he was in a feud with AJ Styles, if you remember the AJ Styles feud, where they were going back and forth about, I've been here my whole career versus I've been out in TNA in Japan. You're just the indie guy. I'm the WWE guy. And we ate it up and we loved it. And it was one of the greatest feuds going. But before that, he was in a feud with Rey Mysterio where he was stealing his mask and they were having matches and leading to him eliminating Rey Mysterio from the 2019 Royal Rumble. But before that, he was in feuds with Jeff Hardy that was playing off of what they did back in Backlash of 2018 for when they feuded for the U.S. title. What I'm trying to say is Randy Orton has been absolutely amazing nonstop for 2 years, and it's time to put the title on the guy because he is lights out constantly. Who has had a better run than that?
You did it for two straight, Jack. You act like I don't sit next to you watching these Royal Rumble shows. I've seen it. He's great. He's amazing. That moment choking on Angel Garza was dope. But allow me to be cynical because someone has to be on the show. We saw 3 months ago, Bianca Belair was on the main roster. She told the Street Profits to straighten up, and that lasted a week. I got a feeling that no matter how good you think Randy Orton is, it's not enough to change the dynamic between Garza and Andrade. They may go back to what they were doing a month before.
That's why this is perfect. Let me tell you something. So first off, Randy Orton is going to continue and he should get that title shot. But here is the thing. Before that, before this match, they are facing off against the Viking Raiders, a team that needs to be rehabbed so badly. And this is their chance to get back to being serious and getting a big win over a big team. And why is it okay for them to do that over Zelina's crew? Because they're going to break up anyways. So it doesn't matter. So all four of those individuals are going to come out of this looking better. Viking Raiders are going to be serious again. Andrade and Garza are probably going to split apart and they're going to go and do their own thing. And it's going to be absolutely perfect. And then Randy Orton needs the title. He needs to go take it off of Drew McIntyre. I'm going to say it. Randy Orton should be the champion. He should be on the posters. He should be on everything because for two straight years, he has been completely unstoppable.
I kind of miss my gavel. Leslie, thoughts about the match?
Wow.
Big show, Viking Raiders against Lena's crew.
I'm kind of speechless after that. I don't know how to follow up with
that. I've heard about Bailey and I'm obsessed and crazy. He pops off.
Start with before that. That's what I usually do.
He went to high school.
I feel like the Missouri. Before that. I don't even know what happened with the match because I was focused on that, you know, that little interference and that little fight. I mean, it was good. I loved it. I think I have to agree with you, Jack. I have to give it to you and your facts. You came through tonight and yeah, Randy Orton killed it. That's the only person I was paying attention to. But someone said in the chat, and it's been my question these past couple of weeks, why is Ric Flair there? Can anyone explain that? And it's kind of funny how Andrade gets so like hyped once Ric Flair goes and backstage and like start talking to him, and we're like, we know why you're so happy.
You could totally see. I'm so glad you mentioned that. You could totally see he was lighting up, and you could see Ric Flair was like putting his hand on his shoulder, and I thought that was great.
Well, that's it's actually hilarious. Tozawa number one. I don't know what Raw you guys are watching.
It was actually number two.
Yeah, let's talk about the women's division, how leaps and bounds, a lot of progression storylines, top, bottom, first, our main event. Bayley, Doe Straps versus Asuka, champion versus champion, implications aside, with Bayley and Nikki Cross happening, Sasha and Asuka happening, Kairi Sane's returning. All that stuff is happening in the main event. The result wasn't that great. It was fine. But thoughts about the match there, Leslie?
Oh, my gosh. Entertaining. Asuka was beat up after that match. Did you guys see her?
She was.
I had never seen Asuka so beat up. in like the past couple months, years. I don't know what they did to her, but this was so entertaining. I love the fact that we thought that they were going to get the pin and they were going to win and it was going to be, you know, not right. It was going to be dirty. They were going to cheat. And then it didn't happen. I was really surprised with the ending. I'm surprised that they gave the win to Asuka, but I don't mind it. Overall, I was so entertained. I'm so happy that they gave the women 30 minutes. I know they're my role models too, but you got to give it to the whole division. They're finally bringing it back. We're seeing so many more matches, so many more storylines. So I am not upset. This was great. This was a great way to end the show for me. I just loved it overall. Nikki Cross added a good mix to it as well. And the fact that Samoa Joe's like a bodyguard now, I mean, come on.
Nikki Cross is number one contender for the SmackDown Women's Championship, Jack. To me, it looks like a stopgap opponent for Extreme Rules, but she may pull away with a victory. Thoughts about Nikki's involvement, especially if you want to go into the whole like cross-branding thing, but more idea of like her getting to the head of Bayley going into their match at Extreme Rules.
I thought it was fun. I liked it. I think having people on commentary, I don't get bothered by them crossing brands if it's just to come say something on commentary, especially given the tag team rules with them bouncing around back and forth on brands. So I thought that was fine. I thought it was fun. It added a fun dynamic. I thought Bayley's reaction to Nikki Cross on the other side of the glass was pitch perfect. It was great. So I liked her being there. I thought it was great. And I think, man, the women's wrestling is just dominating the WWE right now and is doing so much good stuff. And it's funny, you mentioned that Nikki Cross is a stopgap, but I got to tell you something. Bayley feels like right now she is so far above everybody else. I can't think of anyone outside of Sasha Banks that wouldn't feel like a stopgap.
Even a return? Point.
Not counting returns. Returns are different. I mean, as far as active competitors.
Fair enough.
Obviously, if like Charlotte or Becky came back, that's a different story. But
Shayna goes to SmackDown.
As far as who?
Shayna goes to SmackDown, for example.
Shayna, maybe. She would need some rehab, though, at this point, yeah, after being off TV for a while. Like right now, like if Shayna Baszler right now started a feud with Bayley, you'd say this is random. This is out of nowhere. But when I look at who else is there, every single person, Bayley's just on another level right now. Between every other female on the roster, she is top of the class right now by a long shot, I think.
I never thought I would hear him say that.
Yeah, I sat through a whole Randy Orton retrospective to get to it, but I'm so glad he put over Bayley today. The match is
she looked great,
man.
Tonight too. Her makeup is doing much better. I think she's evolving with this look. It took me a little bit to get used to it, but now it's working, girl. It's working.
It was weird because you were saying she looked good. I was like, oh, yeah, she walks her ring pretty forcefully. Oh, makeup. I have no idea. I can't. Bye.
That's why I
had no say on that one. But also, before that, we had the return of Kairi Sane, which while that happened, there was a bit of a rumor swirling about whether Kairi is coming to help out Oscar or Io Shirai. But hey, Kairi Sane, I love her. I've always have been since day one, sort of. I like her return. Even though there's even more rumors out there that her contract may be up. But it was cool to see her tonight. Thoughts about the return of Kairi Sane and Jack Harlow?
I thought it was great. I think, you know, they did a lot of teasing us with the whole, they took her picture off of the advertising for those that follow all that on Twitter and everything. And then they said, I have a secret partner that's going to be here. It wasn't a splashy return. Like, it was kind of who you'd expect to be the person to back up Asuka, but Kairi Sane is so lovable. Let me ask you guys, is Kairi Sane the most lovable character in the history of WWE? I don't remember anyone else that I've just been like, I don't care what she does. I love her. She's great. Is there anyone else that has that same factor the way that Kairi Sane does?
I feel like if you go full bore into being a pirate, then you've earned it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it takes some kind of person to be like, yes, I am a pirate, and that's fine. You know?
Yeah. I feel like she could be the person that takes Rey Mysterio's other eye, and I'd still be like, yeah, I love her, though. She's great.
Well, look, to be fair, it was Mysterio's stipulation. He did call for it. So. I brought this on myself. Kairi Sane, what's up?
I mean, I can't agree more with Jack. She's so lovable. And the fact that, you know, she's playing her little instrument and she's backstage and she's showing us that she's more talented outside of the ring. How can you hate this girl? She's so amazing. And she has such good skills in the ring as well. So she has everything that we want. So we can't hate on her.
I had the pleasure of being in the same room as Kairi Sane, like just passing. And this is, she has the aura. Like, it's kind of like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh my, she's physically small, but like she has the it factor. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, that makes you go, the presence, as they say. And lastly tonight, a little bit of a peculiar match, but I'm kind of glad it happened. Ruby Riott had a match against one half of the Iconics and Billie Kay. Ruby Riott seemed to be on a losing skid, much like her former tag team partner, Liv Morgan, who was not on the show tonight. But it's looking more and more that Ruby may be a protagonist. Jack Farmer, we talked about Ruby being a natural face and Billie Kay being more aggressive. What happens when those two come to a head?
I think this is perfect. I love the way they're doing this. This is such a perfect storytelling situation where you have Ruby Riott, who is becoming our underdog. You can't be an underdog and win all the time, right? Everyone always wants the underdog story, but no one wants to see someone become an underdog. This is how you become an underdog. You lose a few matches, and on the way, they are completely, I keep saying the word rehabbing. They're rehabbing the Iconics. They're giving them wins. They're building them back up at the same time. I think what's going to happen is Ruby Riott's taking her L's, and then Liv Morgan's going to come and save her. And now you're going to have two tag teams in the women's division that are great, that are awesome, that are going to really buoy that division. But man, Ruby Riott is a different level as someone to cheer for. I always thought she was kind of she's okay as someone to be a villain, to someone to boo, but as someone to like love, as someone to enjoy, as someone to be like, I like this character. She's great. She's a different level. I think if I always use the buying stock analogy, if I could buy stock in Ruby Riott, I would buy right now. I think it's going to go through the roof. I think she's going to be a very big deal in the women's division very soon.
Dylan Matthews in chat says, since her return, Ruby Riott is 0-12. Thoughts about the match tonight, Leslie, and the prospects of Ruby Riott?
Honestly, I feel like I was focused more on Ruby Riott than the Iconics. Billie Kay, don't hate me, Dylan, don't hate me, but I like Peyton Royce more than Billie Kay. I feel like, to be honest, at first, this match was a little slow for me, but it did the right thing to push Ruby up. I feel like we've all been wanting more from her ever since she came back. We're like, I don't know, there's something missing. But now it's the time for her to get that push and for us to believe in her, see what more she has to give. And she's so talented in the ring. So I'm excited to see how her character is being built and how they're going to combine her with Liv Morgan. And if Liv Morgan is actually going to come back and be like an actual character, because we've all been confused and we don't really know who she is. So I hope they're, like Jack said, they're rehabbing both of them. So that way, you know, we can finally get these tag teams that we've been wanting for the women's division. And they're finally building this women's division to be like a tag team division that we've been wanting for so long. So I appreciate that so much. And I'm excited to see also the fact that I don't know if you guys mentioned this, but that the Kabuki Warriors are actually challenging for the tag team titles as well.
That's true.
So it's like finally making these titles credible we've been wanting for such a long time.
What's great, if I can piggyback on that too, is how organic a lot of these tag teams are finally starting to come together. Iconics have always been together. The Kabuki Warriors took some time to feel like a natural team, but now they absolutely are a natural team together. Blitzcross, same thing. You've got Bayley and Sasha Banks together. You're really getting some, and maybe if I'm right about the Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan, you're going to have a lot of teams that don't feel thrown together anymore. They feel like they're actual teams. And I think that could be really big, especially, again, NXT could probably put together 3 or 4 teams right off the top with how many stars they have there. So
this division's about to get
sick.
Yeah, totally cut you off there. But yeah, there's some budding ones there with Keith Catanzaro and Kane Carter and Tati Blackheart and Tegan Knox. Brian Santos in the chat.
Shout out to Brian. I love you.
he came in and was like, sup, Leslie? Like, we're just sitting here chilling, not doing anything else of importance. Yeah, thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. You killed it on Maria Menounos' show this week.
yeah, we're here too.
Yeah, guys. I got t-shirts. You can buy some. Well, tell them quick. Applebeatsathreadless.com. But let's talk about Liv Morgan, because her trajectory has been one of the weirdest ones, I thought. She was in Riot Squad doing this punk look, the ska look, I guess. Reinvigorated herself with SmackDown, lost a match to Charlotte, had a huge repackaging process, came back as Lana's lover, clad in leather. She's taking L's too. Now, we just said a second ago, natural tag team. Team back with Ruby Riott. It seems that Sarah Logan's on the shelf for an extended period of time. She's with child. Congratulations to Sarah Logan.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you make Liv Morgan work? A whole nother character? Do they go back to being punks? Is it kind of like we're just people passing through the night? What's the best expression for Liv and Ruby?
No punks. It won't go anymore. I feel like it goes with Ruby, but Liv has been such a mystery character. Actually, maybe it'll work because Ruby is so natural with that punk look and her intro music and everything goes so well with her. I feel like you have to connect Liv more to her if she's going to be credible and if you're going to make them a tag team. But it's really hard with Liv because we've been giving so many different types of characters that we don't even know who she is or what fits her.
True. I don't know, man. I don't like her look. I don't like Ruby's look. I think this puts her in a box almost, wearing the plaid and the asymmetrical tights. I feel like she's a bit of a procrastinator on her own. Jack, what do you think?
I disagree with you about Ruby Riott completely. I think her look is fantastic because there are a ton of wrestling fans that look just like Ruby Riott when it comes to how they dress and how they dye their hair. And I think it's great because there's not a lot of people, male or female, that connect with that crowd, with the punk rock crowd. And I think it's great that someone is. So I think that's good. I don't want to see Liv Morgan change again at all. I think she should stay how she is. As we look at the women's division, how it's growing and really starting to set the pace for all of wrestling, I like how they have so many tag teams that, like Bliss Cross, that they aren't just two carbon copies of the same type of person and working together, but they're different. Like Bliss Cross having two totally different personalities, but they make it work and it creates some fun banter between the two. I think that's good. I think that I would like to see Ruby Riott not know if she can trust Liv Morgan, because Liv Morgan's a different person every time we see her. I would like to see them embrace that instead of her just kind of going back and being like, actually, I am a punk rocker too. You know, I think it'd be fun to have that. I want to see the evolution of Liv Morgan's character in a story-driven way instead of just saying, oh, we dropped the ball, let's start over, if that makes sense. And I think someone like Ruby Riott, who is clearly walking her own path, is the perfect person to help her find that way and that character, at least on screen.
True. I'll give you that. I mean, nothing wrong there. But before we get out of here, quick question for both of you. You are now the shadow booker of all three brands. Do you somehow make the women's tag division onto one brand and say this is what's going to happen, or still keep the floating rule in act, allowing teams to be grown on different shows and have the belt float between the three brands?
Nope, keep it in between all three brands. I'm loving it. I love the fact that everyone has the flexibility to go to the different brands. It brings so much attention to each brand. You're interested in every show because you don't know who's going to come out. You don't know who's going to be the next challenger. And all these women working together differently is just making such great matches. So I'm all for it. Don't keep it a one brand. Keep changing it. These women are killing it, and I'm all for the women's division. You guys know that.
I agree 100%. I think what makes these titles fun is we're getting to see people passed around and moving around to different brands. I think the fact that Bayley and Sasha have been able to jump from brand to brand has made the shows way more exciting and way better. In fact, if anything, I would say that I think that the men's tag team division should take a similar approach and start looking at combining those titles, having one tag team champion travel amongst the brands.
Raffle to the performance center.
Yeah,
I'll see you guys in an hour. But that's all time we have for this edition of the Monday Night Raw After Show, exclusively on AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports. Leslie Colon, where can the world find you, La Profesora?
Yes, I am La Profesora of this show. So make sure you follow me on Instagram and Twitter. Ask me anything you want about wrestling. You know, I'm all for it. And I was also a guest on Flo Bito's show called New Amsterdam. So make sure you check that out if you want to get to know a little bit more about me. But follow me at Leslie Colon _.
Jack Farmer.
Yep, you can find me at jackcfarmer.com as well as at RealJackFarmer across all social media. You can also check me out on the AEW Dynamite After Show every Wednesday at 8:15 Pacific Time, as well as Wrestling With Your Questions with Flo, Bo, Boyce every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, where we answer all sorts of questions. You can also catch me drinking Broster's coffee, which I purchase at www.thebroasters.com. They have all sorts of flavors. They're all amazing. Check them out. And also, I like to hit my smart button. So visit www.smartbutton.com. Type in promo code HEAL to get a discount today.
Put your natural face. Yeah, my name is Lobo Boyce, and apparently I get around on these different shows. You can follow me on Twitter at Lobo Boyce, on Instagram at Lobito, Lobito.com. New Amsterdam Radio is my podcast. It's available every Thursday on Spotify. Me and Coco Cena, Evan Mack, have a show called The Everything Tournament. It streams live every Tuesday. Me and Jack Farmer have a show called Wrestling With The Questions. It streams every Thursday. And Leslie, I want you back, really. I think you're one of the best guests ever in the podcast. But support the homie, buy a t-shirt at flobito.threadless.com. But until next time, wear a mask and buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.